And we start from here in the Greater Accra region, where MP for North Tong, Samuel Ogudjeto Ablakwa, has revealed that the push by the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, to sell majority shares in its hotels to the Greek Minister, Brian Echampong, is progressing despite public outcry over the decision. The minority caucus in Parliament, Organized Labour and other groups have vowed to demonstrate against the sale of the hotel deal, the hotels tomorrow, ahead of what they have been addressing the media on its preparation. Listen to MP for North Tong, Samuel Ogudjeto Ablakwa.
So President Akufo-Addo has considerable authority over all of these persons who are disturbing our peace and our state assets. And this petition is directed at him to instruct his appointees to take their hands off our treasured state assets. I want to quickly go through our key demands, so that you don't leave here with any ambiguity. One, you will be seeing in our petition that we insist that President Akufo-Addo should immediately stop the sale of our SNIT hotels. We want an immediate declaration from the President, because since we started this agitation, all the President has done is to ask Organized Labour to go and meet the Employment Minister, to go and meet the SNIT board, at which meetings, as Organized Labour has told them, these appointees of the president try to convince them to agree with them for the sale to go ahead. So clearly the president and his appointees don't want to stop the sale, and we are going to insist tomorrow.
And you have the MP for North Tong constituency, Samuel Ogudjeto Ablakwa, and my colleague Kenneth Jisi is there for us and has been monitoring this press conference. Kenneth, what's the plan for tomorrow's protest?
So the plan for tomorrow's protest is that they're going to converge at the Labadi Beach Hotel, which they say is the most profitable out of all the hotels that are up for sale. And then from there, they will move to La Palme Beach Hotel, just close to Labadi. They will pass through the Gifford Road in front of Elwak, then proceed to the traffic light at the Land Commission intersection. They'll move past the DVA office and end at the Price the King. Now, they say that they have been told by the police not to get too close to the seat of government because it is a security zone. So they will wait at Price the King and expect a government official to come meet them, and they will present a petition to them. And the petition was some of the things that they mentioned, that an immediate cancellation of the sale of these four hotels, two of which they say make more profit than the hotel that intends to buy it.
Right. Thank you so much, Kenneth. We'll obviously be delving more into the situation as it moves on. Away from that, we delve into our election headquarters. Election headquarters brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity. The Chartered Institute of Management Accountants and AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, also brought to you by German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenience service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. Now, NDC flag bearer John Mahama intends to scrap the government's One District, One Factory initiative if he is re-elected, proposing instead to redirect the millions saved into other critical sectors, particularly farming. Mr. Mahama argued that the initiative, while ambitious, has not delivered the desired economic impact, and that the resources could be better utilized to support agriculture, which he believes is fundamental to revitalizing the economy.
And we find ourselves in this crisis again. One, we need to cut down expenditure. This government is not willing to cut expenditure. In crisis, you slash expenditure and increase revenues. All they're doing is increasing revenues, but without reducing expenditure. We're going to eliminate all those wasteful projects, One Village, One Dam, and all those things that they spend billions on, so that we can use that money in the more productive sectors to make the economy grow again. Like Planting for Food and Jobs, Metasip, when I was there, we had the medium-term agricultural strategic investment plan. All those programs aim at the farmer to increase his production.
While Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia, who is seeking to succeed President Akufo-Addo, insists their government has prudently managed the economy despite external challenges and even cut expenditure, he spoke at the Eid al-Adha prayers yesterday.
Global events in the past 3 to 4 years have had significant impact on nations and their citizens, and our country Ghana has not been spared. This led to a series of uncomfortable situations for our citizens. Even though we are not where we want to be, that is back to the economic boom we experienced a few years prior to the crisis. The data shows that our economy is on the path of economic recovery. Government on its part has cut down general expenditure significantly. In spite of the global economic situation, government has remained committed to delivering on its mandate.
Well, our research desk has been looking into these expenditure cuts, and Isaac Kofi-Eje joins me in studio with more. Kofi, what have you found?
Well, Mami, let's start with government expenditure for this year. The total budgetary allocation, according to the Finance Ministry data, is pegged at 259 billion Ghana cedis. And we know that between 2023 and this year, government expenditure or budgetary allocation is up by 25.73%. However, this is relatively lower compared to the 41.6% rise between 2022 and 2023. Let's look at some of the flagship programs that, you know, the former President John Mahama has been speaking about. Mm-hmm. If you look at road infrastructure this year, government is budgeting 3.51 billion Ghana cedis for road infrastructure compared to the 2.64 billion cedis in 2023. Mm-hmm. In variance terms, this means that the road infrastructure budget will be up by 870 million Ghana cedis. Free SHS will also be up by 170 million Ghana cedis, up from the $2.6 billion cedis allocation in 2023. Mm. Planting for Food and Jobs will increase from 660.56 million Ghana cedis to 700 million cedis, adding 40 million cedis more. 1D1F is the only one paid what we've tracked so far that has seen a cut or a slash from 200.42 million cedis to 123.48 million Ghana cedis. Now, regional reorganization and development, mm-hmm. Will see its budget rise by from 38.8 million cedis to 60 million Ghana cedis, up by 21.2 million cedis. And the last one, nursing and teacher training allowance, up from 570.11 million cedis to 931.74 million cedis, up by more than 424 million Ghana cedis, Mamisi.
So would you say that there's been any form of budget cuts in these expenditures?
In general, if you look at the gross, it's up by 25.73%. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the rates of increase that has slashed from the 41.6% in 2023 now to 25.73 now. But if you look at the general gross, mm-hmm. it has increased from somewhere. If you look at the budgetary allocation, this is about 259 billion Ghana cedis. That's 25.73% rise.
Thank you so much. Kofi-Eje is with our research desk. And still on this conversation, we've been joined by economist Professor John Gachi to explain to us more on this. But unfortunately, we haven't gotten him. When we do, we'll definitely have this conversation. Moving away from that, the Member of Parliament for Wild West, Peter Lanchine Tobo, is calling on the feuding factions in the communal conflict between the people of Lasia Tolu and Kendu to lay down their arms and allow peace to prevail. Addressing a press conference in Wa, he emphasized that the real enemies the people should be fighting are poverty, disease, and ignorance. The conflict has already claimed 3 lives, with one person critically injured. Join News Upper West regional correspondent Rafik Salam reports.
The Wa West Member of Parliament, Superintendent Retired Peter Lanchine Tobo, noted that the communal conflict between the people of Lasia Tolu and Kendu that erupted into a violent attack with recorded fatalities on Saturday is unfortunate, to say the least. Superintendent Retired Peter Lanchine Tobo calls for truce between the feuding communities.
No conflict can be resolved through the use of lethal or non-lethal force. Excessive anger has no place in conflict resolution. Let's allow cool heads to reign. My deepest condolences to the families of the deceased persons. I wish the injured and the wounded a speedy recovery. May this never be repeated anywhere in the Wawa's district. We love the peaceful coexistence we've enjoyed over the years. Brothers and sisters, if there is any battle to fight, we should unite to fight against poverty. Let's fight against deprivation. Let's fight against ignorance. And let's fight against underdevelopment.
Three persons are dead and one critical injured and receiving treatment at the hospital. He commended the police, military, and other security agencies in the region for the timely response.
What the police are doing is contributing to ensuring the safety of citizens and ensuring the stability of the place. I think the whole of yesterday we've coordinated, we've collaborated with the Regional Security Council, the District Security Council, and we've gotten men and women in uniform representing the Ghana security sector to ensure that there is peace between the people of Lasse Tulu and Kando. And I can assure you, all of us will contribute our quota to bringing back the peace that we enjoyed over the years between these two communities.
He says they are collaborating with the security agencies to ensure lasting solution to the conflict.
There are still apprehensions, there are still suspicions, but so far, calm has returned. An easy calm for that matter. And we know in conflict areas, we say every calm that you see is still the unpredictable calm. You can't predict it from coming and you can't predict when it goes away. But it is our hope that what I've seen this afternoon be maintained by the men and women in uniform so that by tomorrow we'll continue to grow from strength to strength.
And that was Rafiq Salam's report. Well, we'll get back to our previous story on the economy, where former President John Mahama has been raising some concerns about expenditure cuts. But Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia is insisting that President Akufo-Addo has prudently managed the economy despite external challenges. Well, we are joined on the line by Professor John Gachi with the University of Cape Coast. Professor Gachi, we are grateful for your time on the Midday News. Is government's expenditure cut for this year, I mean, significant enough to warrant reduction in tax revenue?
Well, I do not think so. And it does not resonate with what the government is doing. I think we have had a cut in expenditure, especially for key ministers in the past, that could be associated with the establishment of chief compounds and the rest. For this particular one, it is not very clear the impact of that particular reduction in expenditure that the government keeps talking about.
But are we likely, I mean, from where you sit, exactly could you quantify what has really been the impact? What have you seen in which areas?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that we have not seen the impact of the reduction that they have been talking about, especially I'm comparing it to what happened in the past when we are having difficulties and there was announced a reduction in expenditure through reduction the salaries of some key ministers.
Right.
That was channeled to the establishment of chief compounds and the rest. So people can resonate, people can actually associate with what was being done. But this one, it is very difficult for us to see.
Well, in your opinion, where would or what should government get rid of to create more fiscal room for the economy?
Well, I think we have flawed this matter over and over. We believe that general reduction in expenditure is needed and upscaling revenue in a manner that does not disrupt the business environment is what is required. But while we are doing this, we are disrupting the business environment and that is putting more burden of taxes on people. So that is not the best way to approach it. So there should be a balance in all these measures that are being taken.
Right, Professor Gachi, we're so grateful for your time on the Midday News. So grateful. Professor John Gachi is with the University of Cape Coast. Now, the Ghana Airport Company Limited says plans are already in place to restrict access to non-travellers and unauthorised persons at security zones at the Kotoka International Airport. This comes after reports of missing unaccompanied baggage there. Maxwell Agbagba joins me with details of the statement from the company. Maxwell, what are the details?
Well, it says the attention of the management of the Ghana Airport Company Limited has been drawn to a publication in the news media on the handling of some unaccompanied baggage at the Kotoka International Airport. Management has taken note of the concerns raised in the publication and is taking the needed steps to immediately investigate and address it. And furthermore, plans are already in motion to restrict access to non-travelers and unauthorized persons at security zones such as baggage hold areas. It says anyone found culpable in any act of thievery or extortion which negatively impacts our cherished passengers and additionally brings the image of Ghana Airports Company Limited into disrepute will be dealt with according to the full rigors of the law. Management wishes to assure the general public of its commitment to ensure that operations at the airport are safe and secure for all travellers.
Thank you, Maxwell Agbagba. Now, today for our Safe Water campaign, we tell you the story of how some residents of the Upper East Regional Town of Pualogo are forced to depend on dirty water from streams and dugouts for their household chores and sometimes consumption. Regional correspondent Albert Sori follows one of the residents as he goes in search of water for his family. Here's his report.
This is the Anogolayu suburb of Pualogo. For the people who live here, getting water to do anything is tantamount to going on a hunt. Wilson Aba, one of the residents here, goes in search of water for his family, accompanied by his four-year-old daughter. They go through. Wilson had hoped that this stream would have some water, but it has dried up. Finally, he arrives at another stream a little over a kilometer away from his house. This one contains some stagnant, milky water.
We drink it, we use it for cooking, we use it for a lot. For Anogolayu area here, I don't think we have a well or borehole. Our source of water we get is mostly the stream here. We are many, up to 200 or 300.
The animals too come here to drink. Wilson takes the water home to his wife, who immediately uses it to wash their dishes.
A lot of people have been falling sick because it's very, very dirty. But sometimes when there is no water, you have to force and take it that way. You can get a cholera from there.
Many of the residents here also create dugouts near their homes for water. Assemblyman for the area, Moses Adongo, says water scarcity is a problem affecting the entire Pualogo township.
The supply of the water isn't enough. Now that we are struggling with assembly to see if we can get a borehole.
For now, the people of Anogolayu continue to depend largely on the dirty water from their streams and dugouts until an intervention arrives. Albert Sori, Joy News, Pualogo.
And that is the Midday News. You're listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. And we'll be taking a break right here. We'll be returning and we'll bring you Presidential Advisor on Health Confident Investigations into allegations of staff of the Winneba Trauma and Specialist Hospital abandoned a patient in the bush at Ojobi. We'll fix the systemic challenges which resulted in the unfortunate incident.
If home is where the heart is, then let's go home, shall we? Let's go where...
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity. The regular football season is over. But not for us here at SuperSport. We've got a big deal coming your way. Get connected to DStv to see some of football's biggest names starring in all 51 matches of Euro 2024, live and in HD.
That is extraordinary!
Now that's a big deal.
Welcome back to the Midday News. Now, Presidential Advisor on Health, Dr. Anthony Siasari, says he is confident investigations by the Ghana Health Service into allegations that staff of the Winneba Trauma and Specialist Hospital abandoned a patient in the bush at Goma Ojobi will fix the systemic challenges which resulted in the unfortunate incident. According to the Ghana Health Service, the patient has been hospitalized for 2 months after a severe accident and had been under the hospital's care for more than 2 months without family support to settle her medical bills. But speaking to Sweetie Abochi on the AM show this morning, he expressed confidence that issues which led to the incident will be addressed to prevent a recurrence.
I believe that the missing link is a connection between one, the hospital should have a psychologist or a psychiatrist to at least see the patient. I didn't hear anything about that. Two, I believe that the missing link, which was not properly done to continue the care of the patient, is the link between the hospital social welfare unit and the counterpart in Ujobi, the one who referred the patient and brought the patient to the hospital. I was expecting that the social welfare unit of the hospital should have handed over patient physically to the social welfare unit or social welfare service at Ujobi. If it had been done in that way, we wouldn't have heard this or be discussing this unfortunate situation. And that's where the problem is. So questions should be asked. Where was the social welfare service personnel who brought the patient to the hospital from Ujobi? Ideally, you should have even have come to the hospital and then joined the ambulance to take the patient safely where the patient was supposed to be taken to. To me, that is where the problem is. But the investigation which is being conducted will come out of all this. And two, the lesson that we have to learn from this is that if the patient is exhibited some mental issues, because he was knocked down by a vehicle, maybe we should have also dealt well into the psychological and then the mental patient.
Dr. Nsiasari is Presidential Advisor on Health. Now, the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, AMA, has taken a significant step towards modernizing its revenue collection with the launch of a centralized digital service and payment platform. There's more in the following report.
This new system allows rate players to make payments conveniently from their homes, shops, or any location, marking an important shift from the inefficient manual processes of the past. Mayor of Accra, Elizabeth Saki, is excited about the new system.
Today we've got into the cashless system. Why? Because when I came, I tried to do some small research from the market itself, and I realized that they weren't able to pay their revenue because people go there to collect with tickets. And then they also reported to me that having the tickets, they are not comfortable with it because they realize that when they pay to them, they put it into their pockets and there's no development in the market and so many excuses and reasons for them not paying. So I came back and then with the management, I decided that we should go cashless.
As part of the platform's rollout, the AMA has been engaging with businesses in Okaishi, at the heart of the central business district of Accra. Joy News has been speaking to some of these traders.
I would say
the previous platform for payment was quite, say, difficult as compared to the current one. This time around, in the comfort of our office, we can do the payment. But my only problem with the new one is that when it gets to the check session, whereby you have to pay with a check or cash, they have a limit. The amount should be more than 3,000 before you can use a check. So if that can be worked on, maybe reduce the limit to 2,000 or 1,000, then that will be fine for us.
I think previously they have to bring us a bill before we make payments. And now they send us a message on our phone. And I think that one is better. Because, you know, we are always careful using our phone. You will never get it lost. It will never get lost. With the bill, sometimes get lost. When they are in to pick, collect money to sometimes looking for the invoice or the receipt after payment too, you have difficulty with it sometimes because it might get lost. But with the new system, everything is on the phone for you. We can always reach out to it and show anybody who walks in to come and check whether you have paid it or not.
And that report taking us to M&J. Max and Jackie here with me. Happy holidays.
happy holidays.
What's trending?
Eid Mubarak to our Muslim brothers as well.
Yeah.
Eid Mubarak is actually trending on Twitter. The Ghana Premier League is also trending. It's also trending on Twitter. Huh. So it was the last day of the Ghana Premier League games. Interesting results from, Twitterati's.
They've been sharing their thoughts on that.
Especially from the Hearts of Lions and Brekum Chelsea game.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Twitterati's are saying, it was like they were acting the players were acting a movie you know, on the field. In fact, one of the videos, viral videos, the commentator, actually